Morning, everyone. It's great to have you here for worship this morning. I'm Hunter Lacefield, the youth pastor here at First United Methodist Church. I'm glad you're joining us, whether that be online or on the radio. Today, we're going to be continuing our series on the Apostles' Creed, and we'll be talking about the Holy Spirit. We'll also have our baccalaureate services today, this Sunday, May 23rd. So if you're interested in that, feel free to check out one of our other services online. Thanks for joining us today, and welcome to worship.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, there's power, wonder-working power in the blood. Precious blood of the Lamb. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. In the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb.
Join me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Friends, each week I get the opportunity to say thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for how you give and how your gifts help us to be in ministry around the world. And so I want to just say, keep up the good work. Remember, you can always donate safely and securely online by giving at firstmethodistclinton.org/giving. You can also mail your check to 100 Mount Salis Road, or drop your check off next time you're in the neighborhood. We'd love to see you stop on by. However you give, don't forget, it makes an eternal difference.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you're joining us today. I'm Miss Nikki, and we're going to have a few moments for the kids. Over the past 2 weeks, we've started talking about the Apostles' Creed and what each part of it means. So Today we'll be doing the next part, part number 3. But real quick, let's see where we're at. So here's what we've talked about so far. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And the next part goes like this. Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. This part always reminds you of the Christmas story. Most of you know this story. Long ago, in a place called Nazareth, lived a woman named Mary. She worked hard and was always good to others, and she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. One day, while Mary was at home cleaning her room, an angel suddenly appeared. Before Mary could say anything, the angel told Mary to not be afraid. She was favored by God and that God was with her. Mary was surprised. She was trying to not be afraid, but she had never seen an angel before. Then the angel told her that God was sending a Holy Spirit to earth to help people, and he would be born as Mary's son, and she would name him Jesus. Mary was confused. She wasn't married to Joseph yet, so how could she have a baby? The angel thought that this might concern Mary, so he said, "The Holy Spirit will perform a miracle, and because of this, your baby will be called the Son of God." When Mary heard this, she told the angel, "Let God's will be done." I imagine Mary felt scared and excited and nervous, but she trusted what the angel told her, and she trusted God. God had big plans for Mary. And on that special night in Bethlehem, all those years ago, sweet little baby Jesus was born as our Savior. And when we say that line in the Creed, we're reminding ourselves of that story. And like Mary, we can trust in God and expect miracles. And that's the good news for today. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for the miracle of Jesus. Help us to put our trust in you each and every day. Help us to see your miracles and to remember them always. In your name we pray. Amen.
Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of this King. He the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity. In our longing, in our darkness, now the light life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery, he the perfect Son of Man, in his living, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the law, in him we behold the wondrous mystery, Christ the Lord upon the tree. In the stead of ruined sinners hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption, see the Father's unfold, bringing many sons to glory, grace unmeasured, love untold. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death,
the God of life, but no grave could e'er restrain him. Praise the Lord, he is alive. What a foretaste of deliverance. In power resurrected, as we will be when he comes.
Pray with me as we pray the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So today, as we continue our series through the Apostles' Creed, we're hitting on a topic that I feel like a lot of the times doesn't get mentioned quite as much necessarily on Sunday mornings. But when we talk about the Holy Spirit, two things come to my mind instantly. The first is a candle, and the second is a triangle. The reason that a candle comes to my mind is because they say that with a candle, you know, just a tiny candle with a little wick, that even if it's completely dark, if it's one of the darkest nights with no stars shining, with the moon not out, that you can see a candle from about 1.5 miles away, maybe even further, depending on how good your eyes are. So it's really cool to me to think about that even a light that small is strong enough and powerful enough to overcome a darkness. And if you can see it, then it could guide you from even that great distance away. And then the other thing that it makes me think about is a triangle, because a triangle is one of the most simple shapes that we have. It has three sides. If you take away one of the sides, then it collapses and it becomes a line. So it's literally one of the most simple shapes that we have, but it's also incredibly sturdy. Triangles are one of the most sturdy shapes that we build with, that we build buildings and different designs with. And when we think about the Holy Spirit, it's one of the three parts of the Trinity, and that's the triangle. So when we talk about it, though, I think we get confused a lot, or we kind of don't allow ourselves to investigate it too much, because it's hard to think about, because it's the Spirit of God, and it's very spiritual when we think about it. And our minds work so carnally, we work so physically, that it can be hard to understand the Spirit at times. But the gift of the Holy Spirit that we're given as believers, and we're given by Jesus on Pentecost, was hand in hand with what Jesus did for us. He died for us. He forgave us of our sins, but that allowed us to be in relationship with God. But what the Holy Spirit does is it lives inside of us as believers to continue our relationship with God on a day-to-day basis. So the Holy Spirit operates in a couple different ways or different names that we can think about the Holy Spirit in. One of those is Comforter. It's God with us that allows us to be reminded constantly on a daily basis that we have God with us and we have relationship. Another thing that we can say about the Holy Spirit is that it is the sanctifier, and we'll talk about that a little bit more today, but it's what allows us to look more like Jesus over time in our relationship. Another thing is the Holy Spirit is an urger. It calls us, it urges us to do the work of God in our day-to-day lives. But I think that the name that I want to get into a little bit today and talk about how the Holy Spirit interacts with us as believers is teacher. Because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And we'll look at that from the book of John. So if you got your Bible or a Bible app near you, go ahead and turn to John chapter 14, and we'll be reading verse 26 to read about the advocate that Jesus sends. In verse 26, Jesus says, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you." So Jesus says that the Holy Spirit does a couple of things. He teaches you all things. So he is a teacher. The Holy Spirit acts as a teacher, but also reminds us of everything that Jesus said. So it allows us to be reminded of the things that Jesus did. So he reveals truth to us. So let's look at what he teaches. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to walk and how to act. Because if we act in ourselves, if we rely on our own strength to walk in this life, our natural tendencies will not fare well in the eternal mindset, because our natural tendency is to stray. But to walk in the path of righteousness is spiritual. That is something that can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. To err is human. You know, to mess up, to make mistakes is our human nature. It's what we do when we're left to our own power. But to be holy, to be set apart, is divine. It's something that only the power of the Holy Spirit can allow us to do. To fall is the effect of evil. That's what sin causes. It causes death. But to stand is the effect of the Holy Spirit. It's what the Holy Spirit allows us to do as believers. It allows us to stand back up and to live a life with Jesus, a redeemed life. So that's what the Holy Spirit teaches. He also teaches us to know sin. You see, by having the Holy Spirit in you to convict you of your sin, then you understand the full weight of what it's like to rebel against God. You understand how weighty sin is and how much it separates you from your Creator. It gives you a reminder of that. And it gives you the ability to recognize your need for God. It allows us to see that on our own, we really don't have the strength to save ourselves. We couldn't pay the price for our sins. It is a way to see that. And then the last thing that I think it teaches that we'll talk about today, of course, it teaches so much more than that. But I think that the last and the most important is that it teaches us Jesus. It teaches us the gravity of the decision that Jesus made. It teaches us the weight of the decision that Jesus made to give himself as the sacrifice for our sins, for every sin, and allows us to see that. And we can see that because Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said that he would do. He redeems us, and then he gives us the Holy Spirit. That is his primary goal in his sacrifice. He allows us to have the Holy Spirit live in us so that we can walk and look and be reminded constantly of what Jesus did on earth. The Holy Spirit acts as a teacher to teach us how Jesus walked. And because of all these things that the Holy Spirit teaches us, how to walk, how to act, the gravity of our sin, but also the immense strength of the grace of God, it gives us a new set of rules and a new way to live. Some of those things are that we have to see this world as temporary. Because if we are operating in the spirit, then we have to see physical things as temporary, as things that are going to pass away. That way we can set our sights on things that are eternal. It allows us to view people as people who are freed from sin. It gives us the opportunity, it gives us the rule to look at others like they are loved by God, that they are accepted by God, and that they are freed from their sin. That way we treat them like the Spirit would treat them. And the last, and I think that the most important part that we see in relationship with God, is that the fruit of the Spirit will grow. That's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Because when you are in relationship with God through the Holy Spirit that He sends you as a believer, then these things are what will grow out of that relationship. Because your sights will be set, you'll have an aim, you'll have a focus, and that focus is Jesus Christ. And as you know Him more, as you see how He lived His life on earth, you'll begin to look like Him more. And that is the good news of the Holy Spirit and the gift that God gave us through being able to be in constant communion with Him with it. So this week, be reminded that the Holy Spirit goes with you, that God has given us His Spirit to not only teach us and to direct us and to urge us in our lives to do His work, but also to remind us of what Jesus did so that we can be constantly reminded of that example that Jesus set for us in His Gospels. So have a great week this week.